Welcome to Next Day Prep, what we are watching tomorrow. What a week in the markets, right? The Dow finally clawed its way back to positive for the year.
Absolutely. A strong finish to a winning week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped about 0.8%, pushing it just into the green, up 0.3% year to date. And it wasn't alone. The S&P 500 gained 0.7%, and the NASDAQ added 0.5%, both closing near their session highs.
It didn't start that way, though. Things were a bit sluggish in the morning.
That's right. We saw some muted moves early on, partly thanks to that consumer sentiment report for May. Sentiment was down, and inflation expectations were, well, up. Year ahead, inflation expectations jumped from 6.5% to 7.3%, and the headline number dipped to 50.8.
Ouch. But the market shook it off?
It did. Buying really picked up as the day went on. You had that ongoing momentum, a bit of FOMO, fear of missing out, and stocks just showed resilience. Sellers couldn't keep them down. 10 of the 11 S&P 500 sectors closed higher, with healthcare leading the charge, up a solid 2%, and utilities also strong, up 1.4%.
And Treasury yields responded to that inflation data too, didn't they?
They did. The two-year yield, which was at 3.93% before the report, settled up at 3.98%. The 10-year yield also ticked up a basis point to 4.44%. So year-to-date, the S&P 500 is up 1.3%, Dow up 0.3%, but the NASDAQ is still slightly down, minus 0.5%. Midcaps and the Russell 2000 are lagging a bit more.
Interesting. Now, WaveWriter AI's analysis of SPY and QQ seems to align with this cautiously optimistic feel. What's the take there?
Well, for SPY, the 30-minute intraday chart over the past month shows a general upward trend. Lots of volume, good price advancement, but more recently, say the last dozen or so bars, there's been a minor pullback. Selling pressure, narrowing price ranges, looks like short-term consolidation or some profit-taking. SPY is trading near its 200-period moving average, which could be a key support or pivot.
And QQQ?
QQQ is similar, continuing its upward path with stable volume and consistent gains. Actually, QQQ's price moves look a bit more robust relative to its volume, suggesting stronger momentum. It's also seeing a slight cooling off, but not a reversal, just consolidating above its major moving averages, which is healthy for long-term gains.
And volatility? The VXX?
VXX has been pretty tame, low volatility, stable in recent sessions. No big spikes, which usually means a calm market environment, and that's definitely helped the bullish sentiment for SPY and QQQ. Of course, a sudden spike in VXX could change things fast.
So what are the key levels traders should be watching for SPY and QQQ?
For SPY, support is around the 590 to 591 range, thanks to recent consolidation. Resistance is up near 595 to 596. Just shy of recent highs. For QQQ, support is around 519 to 519, with resistance near 523 to 524. These are the zones where supply and demand have been battling it out.
And sector-wise, WaveWriter pointed out some shifts.
Yes, XLK, the tech sector, and XLY, consumer discretionary, are performing strongly. That suggests a risk-on sentiment, money flowing into growth areas. Conversely, defensive sectors like XLP, consumer staples, and XLU utilities are more subdued. That rotation into riskier assets implies confidence.
Got it. So overall, a cautiously optimistic vibe, consolidation, but with potential for breakouts. Let's shift to the broader economic picture. That consumer sentiment report was a bit of a downer, but what about housing?
April housing starts came in at 1.361 million, a bit below consensus, though the prior month was revised up slightly. Building permits were 1.412 million, also missing expectations. The key takeaway there is the weakness in single-unit permits across all regions. It really speaks to cautious consumers and builders grappling with higher prices, higher mortgage rates, and higher building costs.
And import/export prices?
April import prices were up just 0.1%, and ex-oil, they were up 0.4%. Export prices also rose 0.1%, so fairly contained there. But back to that University of Michigan consumer sentiment. It really does show some deteriorating views on personal finances and those alarming inflation expectations. It's worth noting, though, That survey closed before the full impact of the U.S.-China tariff de-escalation news could be factored in.
That's a crucial point. Speaking of which, any major headlines on the geopolitical or policy front?
A few things bubbling. The Supreme Court seems ready to limit nationwide injunctions by district judges. The House Budget Committee hit a snag with that large reconciliation bill. Looks like they'll need to tweak it to get more fiscal conservatives on board. And on trade, President Trump mentioned his staff would be sending letters to trading partners about tariff rates soon. Plus, there's talk the U.S. might add more China chipmakers to an export blacklist.
Always something moving on the trade front. Any other notable news?
The Fed is apparently aiming to shrink its workforce by about 10%. On a positive note for healthcare, the FDA cleared the first blood test for diagnosing Alzheimer's. And it sounds like the U.S. and EU are in serious trade talks.
Okay, let's zoom in on earnings. Doximity, ticker DOCS, took a hit despite a solid quarter. What happened there?
Yeah, Doximity had a rough day, down over 10%. They wrapped up their fiscal year 25 with a strong Q4. Unique active users, quarterly, monthly, weekly, daily, all hit fresh highs. Their newsfeed product, which is their most used and monetized, saw record users and a big jump in articles read. Workflow tools also hit new highs.
So the core business is growing?
It seems so. They highlighted that their shift to multi-module integrated offerings drove larger deal sizes and allowed more annual programs to launch in January. They ended the quarter with 116 customers, contributing at least $500,000 each in subscription revenue, up about 17% year over year.
But the guidance?
That's where the trouble started. Downside revenue guidance for Q1 and fiscal 26. Part of it seems to be that shift to multi-module offerings. Fiscal 25 got a boost because it was the transition year, with those earlier January launches. Now that creates a tougher comparison for fiscal 26. They also mentioned visibility. As of now, they only have just under 70% of their initial subscription-based revenue guidance under contract.
So bit of a transition hiccup and maybe some conservatism?
Potentially. They said they haven't seen any impact from macro uncertainty but thought it was prudent to assume a lower market growth rate. Investors are clearly disappointed. Whenever a company makes a big change to its model, there can be an adjustment period. It also seems like a recent executive order from President Trump might be impacting their guidance, given their customers are mainly drug manufacturers and health systems.
That makes sense. Any other earnings standouts, good or bad?
Applied Materials, AMAT, beat by 8 cents and guided Q3 in line. Kava Group had a strong beat, raised its EBITDA guidance, and reaffirmed comps. On the other side, Globant, Glob, missed and guided lower, and Flowers Foods, FLO, also missed and lowered guidance. Take Two, TTWO, beat on net bookings.
Okay, let's pivot to some actionable ideas. WaveWriter's continuation breakout analysis flagged some interesting names. What's the sector view there?
Over the last 30 days, tech and industrials have shown strength. Stocks like Net and Dell have had upward momentum with stable volume. Consumer discretionary, though, has been more mixed. Stocks like KSS and Dash have seen high volume, but also volatility. Sharp declines, then quick recoveries.
And which specific stocks look poised to rise in the next few days based on that continuation theme?
WaveWriter highlighted Net, Mara, Cat, Dash, and DUOL. Net, Dash, and DUOL are showing particularly strong bullish signals. Net, closing strong on increased volume. Dash, with high volume and upward price pressure. And DUOL, breaking into new highs with good volume.
Let's get some levels for Net.
For Net, support around 156.00, 155.50, resistance at 157.50, then 158.00. The prediction is a bullish climb to hit 157.50, and if that breaks, maybe 158.50. Entry around 156.00 to 156.50, with a stop below 155.00.
How about Mara? That one can be a wild ride.
Indeed, Mara support is at 16.00, 15.75. Resistance at 16.50, 16.80. It's showing bullish consolidation after some swings. Potential move towards 16.80. Entry near 16.00 to 16.20. Stop below 15.50.
And Caterpillar? Cat?
CAT support is around 353.00, 352.50. Resistance at 354.00, 355.30. Likely continuation to 354.50. Entry around 353.00. Stop below 351.50.
Dash?
Dash support. 201.00. 200.00. Resistance. 202.05. 203.00. If it holds momentum, could push past 203.00, maybe to 204.00. Ideal entry near 201.00. Stop below 199.00.
Lastly, DUOL for the continuations.
DUOL support, 527.00, 526.00. Resistance, 529.50, 530.00. Strong continuation expected, aiming for 530.00, maybe 531.50. Entry around 527.50, stop below 524.75.
Now, for those anticipation setups, stocks that might be coiling for a move, what's the sector read through there?
Technology and communications are showing significant momentum again. NVDA, NET, and MSFT have strong price increases with substantial volume. Energy and utilities, like CVE and NRG, are more stable, maybe consolidating. Consumer goods and retail are mixed, TSLA showing some upward momentum with higher volume recently.
And which tickers are on the anticipation list for upward moves?
NVDA, TSLA, and MSFT are the highlights. NVDA is displaying strong bullish signals, increasing volume, and breaking above resistance. TSLA maintains consistent upward movement. MSFT shows gradual price increases with rising volume.
Give us the breakdown for NVDA. That's always a popular one.
For NVDA, key support at $135, $134.50. Key resistance at $136, $137. The 30-minute chart suggests a potential move towards $137. Price targets $136 and 50 cents to $137 in the next 1 to 3 days. Entries around $135 to $135.20. Stop below $134.
And Tesla, TSLA?
TSLA support, $346.50, $345. Resistance, $350.50, $353. Anticipate an attempt to break $350.50. Targets $351.50 to $353. Entry in the $347 to $348 range. Stop below $345.
Microsoft MSFT?
MSFT support, $452.50, $451. Resistance, $455, $456. Look for continuation, likely testing $455. Target $455.50, stretch to $456.50. Entries around $453. Stop at $451.
The SA Friday analysis also had a watch list, ADP for continuation, and NVDA for anticipation, which we just covered. What was the key takeaway from that report?
The market showed resilience, with the Dow and S&P 500 gaining amid falling yields and mixed data. Tech and healthcare led. The key takeaway for swing traders is to focus on tech and healthcare for continuation plays. Watch for volume confirmation on breakouts near resistance. But caution is warranted because the 20% weekly indicator is bearish, signaling overbought conditions. So consider trimming or tightening stops on extended names. And, of course, monitor upcoming economic releases.
Good advice. Let's hit some quick movers and notable upgrades or downgrades. Any big analyst calls?
UBS was active. Upgraded Caterpillar, Martin Marietta, and Vulcan Materials to buy or neutral. HSBC upgraded Carnival to hold. JP Morgan upgraded Pentair to overweight. On the downgrade side, Gordon Haskett cut Dick's Sporting Goods to reduce. Piper Sandler downgraded Globant to neutral.
Interesting. You mentioned Globant getting hit on earnings and then a downgrade double whammy.
Exactly. That's tough. And you know, I see these price targets on some of these upgrades. like Martin Marietta to $634 or Vulcan to $318 from UBS. While the rationale might be sound, sometimes these targets feel a bit ambitious in the short term, especially if the broader market is showing signs of being overbought, as one of the reports mentioned. It's good to see the conviction, but traders still need to manage their own risk carefully.
That's a fair point. Analyst targets are one piece of the puzzle, not the whole picture. Any other company-specific news that caught your eye?
A few things. Apple and Fortnite are still in a standoff, with Fortnite blocked from the App Store. Boeing and the DOJ are reportedly near a non-prosecution deal in the 737 MAX case. Bristol-Myers got European approval for an Opdivo regimen. Coinbase is partnering with Webull. Microsoft is facing EU scrutiny over Teams. And NVIDIA. They apparently want to build a new R&D center in Shanghai, but also stated they will not send GPU designs to China.
The NVIDIA China story is always evolving. What else?
Occidental Petroleum and ADNOC are looking at a joint venture for a direct air capture facility in Texas. Super Microcomputer is partnering with DataVolt for AI campuses in Saudi Arabia. Tesla appointed a new board member. In some insider buying at United Health, three directors bought shares worth nearly $1.6 million.
Always interesting to see insider activity. Okay, looking ahead to next week, what's on the economic calendar?
Monday, we get April leading indicators. Tuesday is quiet. Wednesday brings the weekly MBA mortgage index and crude oil inventories, plus a 20-year treasury bond auction. Thursday is busy. Weekly jobless claims, April existing home sales, and weekly natural gas inventories. Friday, we'll see April new home sales.
And any big earnings reports to watch next week?
Yes, quite a few. Monday after hours, look for Agilent. Tuesday pre-market, we have Home Depot and AutoZone. After hours Tuesday, Palo Alto Networks and Toll Brothers. Wednesday pre-market, Target, Lowe's, and TJX. After hours, Snowflake and NVIDIA. Oh wait, actually, the list I have here shows NVIDIA isn't next week, but rather ADSK, CPRT, DEC, NTU, and WDAY on Thursday after hours. My apologies. And Friday pre-market. Buckle.
No problem. Lots to watch regardless. So to wrap it all up, market showing resilience, Dow positive for the year, but some consolidation and overbought signals to be mindful of. Tech and healthcare have been leaders.
That's the gist. Cautious optimism seems to be the prevailing mood. Focus on those key support and resistance levels, watch volume, and be ready for potential shifts based on economic data or unexpected headlines. The market is giving opportunities, but discipline is key.
Excellent. Great insights as always. That's all the time we have for Next Day Prep. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and have a great trading day tomorrow.